Welcome, welcome to Why Not You. This is your host, D. Wells. I hope you all had a great week. It is time for part two with Mr. Alon Zoe. Zoe Events with Soul Ministry. So let's not delay. Let's get right to it. Let's go.
I can definitely understand, man, to feel like when you say, talk about, you know, you just kind of feel like a connection. It's a connection for a reason.
Yeah.
Because right? You just never know what you might learn or how this person might help elevate you to the next level. And it could be for a season. It could be for a lifetime. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It's pretty dope, man. Being there. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll let you.
I'm thinking out loud. You know what I'm saying? That's all that was.
So, man, how'd you come up with the name Soul Ministry?
Sitting on the couch, the same couch I was crying on, I was really? Talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Sitting on it. You know what I'm saying? Sitting on that couch. And after I got my calling, I was sitting there thinking, like, am I supposed to start a church? Like, what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, what is the ministry supposed to be called? Am I supposed to have one of those? And I did. I started one. This was back in 2016, 2017. Uh-huh. I actually put the entity together. I didn't get designated as a nonprofit until last year, but I was like, what am I doing? What's the core of it? You know what I mean? What am I doing? And I was like, what is a ministry anyway? So I go to ministry and look at the concordance and say service. And I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. It's a service. That's what a ministry is. It's a service. It's like, okay, so what am I here for? I was like, I'm serving souls. I'm serving people. I ain't serving the body. I'm serving the soul, the real thing, the real being, what animates us. That's what it is. So I was like, all right, that's what's going to be the name of it. Soul service. It just kind of came to me. I was like, that sounds weird. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I was like, what does that sound? I was like, nah, I'm going to just run with it. So I ran with it. And I asked my wife what she thought. Uh-huh. And sometimes I ask her what she think, and it really don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Same thing she do to me. It's like, it's just kind of a sounding board. You know, it don't really matter what come off it. I already made my mind up. Right. You know what I mean? But that's where it came from. Yep. Yep. Simple. You know what I mean?
So what's your overall mission and goal with it?
Oh, man, there's so many things, bro. I'm going to be honest. I didn't start because I had a vision or a goal. Mm-hmm. I started because it's what I was supposed to do.
Right.
And I don't know what he's going to do with it. But I know for sure with what he's gifted me with and what he told me to do, I do know for sure that what I'm doing is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know, so I don't have to have this grandiose destination. It's like, nah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Let me just start at it and get better. You know, let me just start and get better. And now that I've started and have begun to not just do ministry, but now I'm starting to do things like in a consultant coaching space where it's like, all this is aligned with who he designed me to be, you know, and I'm not wise enough to know that. I'm not wise enough to intentionally pursue that, mm-hmm. but I can Monday night coach,
right?
And look in hindsight and say, oh, okay, now I get it. I ain't gonna sit here and pretend like I'm this smart. Nah, I can't do that because it ain't me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like saying I picked my wife on purpose. I didn't know she was gonna be the perfect spouse for me. I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know, but now in hindsight, I start to see why, okay, this is why he gave me the opportunity to have this one on my side.
Right.
You know, it's because of what he's been doing. You know what I mean? So that's what that is.
That's tight.
Yeah. that's just being honest, man. Like, I don't know. I can't explain why he put me in this place. You know, from where I came from to where I am now, a lot of people don't make it.
Right.
It's actually very rare to make it.
It is.
You know, and I'm starting to come to terms now that, I am a peculiar person that he's, you know, like I am, and I'm coming to terms with it. Mm-hmm. And just simple stuff. I used to, like, even in school, man, I'm like, why do people be staring at me like that? Why? You know what I'm saying? Like, something on my face, like, what's going on, you know? And I expressed this recently to my wife over the last, I'll say, 3-4 years.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she said a lot of things about it. But it's funny, like now that we've been traveling more together, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'll be talking to her and then she'll notice, even sometimes when I don't. And she's like, you know, a lot of people do be just looking at you and staring at you. And I was like, yeah, I know. I was like, I didn't got used to it now. Like, I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? But I was like, I don't know if I was the only one having that experience, but I could be anywhere. It could be work. It could be school. It could be out in public. And I'll have my head down. I'll be doing something. And I'll just look right up and make eye contact with somebody. Like, it's like I wasn't looking around. It's like I just looked directly in their eyes. Yeah. It's like, what in the world was that?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, and it happens so frequently now that it's just like, all right, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are peculiar people.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That's what he said. That's how he made us. You know, uh-huh. we're peculiar people. So coming to terms with that, coming to grips with that is another process. You know what I mean? Embracing exactly what he puts you here to do.
Yeah.
It didn't just come overnight.
Right.
Take years and years and years, revelation by revelation, you know, experience by experience, teaching by teaching, precept upon precept.
Yeah.
As the word would say, you know, step by step. Yeah.
Man, that's the trip. Yeah, because I'm the same way. You know, when it came to the podcast, I just felt like it was just something I was called to do. I didn't have no month goals, no year goals. All I knew I needed to do was take action and start publishing episodes and then sharing it. It's not something that I actually cared to like monetize or anything like that. I just know I just needed to get out there and then just start doing. And so I think I'm learning more about myself through doing this because one is a faith thing, one is a commitment thing, and you know it's bigger than you. And so when I go back to do the editing, man, I'm always like taking notes. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like some of the stuff I pick up. Yeah. Wow.
That is a beautiful thing, man. And I love that you mentioned that you learn more about yourself. And it's a scripture in Proverbs that I was actually working to understand because it said the devices in the man's heart is of the Lord. And in the word devices, it means plans or like intentions, right?
Right.
And I'm like, well, my intentions ain't pure is what I was, you know what I mean? Like sometimes they're not pure. Like can we be honest with ourselves? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, that ain't, I can't see how that, I can't understand how that desire would be put in me by the Lord. Like I couldn't kind of grip that, but in the pursuit of that was my development and my spiritual journey.
Yeah.
Right. And for a practical example, like I said, I was raised in poverty and one of my pursuits was just being rich. I was like, yo, I'm going to be rich. Mm-hmm. Straight up. I decided at a young age that money was not going to be a problem for me. I remember at my first job, 16, working at Chinello's Pizza in Portsmouth, Virginia. And it wasn't long of me working there where I started to get a lot of responsibility. I was made like a shift, you call it a shift runner, but basically like you run the shift, the drivers, everybody's reporting and coming to you, you're directing everything. And it was my first job, mm-hmm. you know? And I was talking to an older guy, Mike, and Mike was in his 60s then. And it's weird having somebody in their 60s and I'm the shift runner and he'd been working his whole life pretty much. That's weird, you know? But I just, again, another experience where it's like I'm at work, I'm doing what I sought to do because I wanted a job so I could get the money to do stuff that I wanted to do. And it just hit me like, yeah, I'm not doing this my whole life.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like I went with 16 and I was, and it wasn't this, you know, again, this great theory and nothing like, it's like, bro, nah, I can't. I'm 16 and I'm looking at, staring at the clock like, I ain't work but 4 or 5 hours a day. And I'm thinking, nah, this can't be life here. This ain't it. You know what I mean? I was like, yo, this is not it.
Yeah.
And maybe it is for some. And I'm not knocking that, but I was like, yeah, nah. Can't do it. You know, right. But here through the pursuit of working to work through money, finances, that kind of thing, like I was trying to figure out because I'm not the prosperity gospel. I ain't gonna knock that. You know, I'm not gonna knock that. But I will say that because of that desire in me And then me seeking to overcome my financial challenges or hardships, what it forced me to do is dial into God's principles around that topic, because I am his chosen. I am his elect. And I can say that with confidence now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he keeps me from places. He keep went like now when I look hindsight in my life, the decisions I made, the places he kept me out of and the places he put me in, right, that I wasn't wise enough to do myself, was him developing me. He put Israel in the isolation in the desert for a reason,
right?
He put them through that for a reason. It was a purpose at the end of that. So when I really sought to make that money, the challenges I came up against, forced me to go to daddy, go to him.
Right.
Like, yo, why in the world is this not happening? Why is this or why is that? It's like, oh, your intentions, your heart is not pure. Like, you're not abiding by his standards. I'm not upholding his commandment. Oh, okay. So I need to do this instead, or I need to do that instead, or I need to develop in this way. So it's like through pursuing those desires in my heart, whether they were good or bad, it ended up putting me in a place to where I was forced to conform to him.
Right.
And some of the desires go away, right? Some of the desires go away and some of them get cleaned up. It's like, nah, it's not for this, it's for that, right? No, you can't pursue because of this, right? You got to get rid of that. You got to give it to him and then pursue because of this. And it, again, brought more clarity to the teaching that Jesus did, where he said, he who finds his life shall lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. It was like, he wasn't talking about dying, literally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Now we can look at it in that perspective because, again, blessed are those who, you know, will put their life on the line for the, you know what I mean? Who would die, confess it. Yeah, but it's like, okay, if finding my purpose or finding my gift without having God is to lose my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You say, he who finds his life shall lose it. And I was like, yo, had I been given riches or wealth in my early 20s, right, before I was really had a relationship with God, that probably would have killed me.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying literally, I'm saying spiritually, because how my relationship with him be. He used that to draw me closer to him, is how I see it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and for some people, it might not be the money tip. It might be relationships. Maybe they've been single for 20, 30, 40 years trying to figure out, like, why don't I have this spouse or this person? It's like, have you pursued God? Have you pursued him and let him clean up who you are, how you are, your intentions? And then by way of that, okay, now you end up getting what you want. And it's not because you're pursuing that thing. It's like, no, let me let go of this and let me pursue him instead. You know, Solomon asked for wisdom, but what was he given? You know what I mean? Solomon asked for wisdom, but what was he given? So it's like, let me purify this. Let me deal with this ticker I got, the seat of my emotions, the seat of my desires. Yeah. Let me purify that and then watch him work. Let me give it to him.
Yeah.
Because I know if I get it, I'm gonna mess it up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna mess it up. I already see the works in my, I already see the stuff that I'm gonna mess it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So let me give it to him and watch how perfect it turns out to be.
Right.
Watch how complete it turns out to be. It's a beautiful thing, bro.
Yeah. It is, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
It just kind of gets to a point, man. It's like, okay, that's just I just put this over here. It's no big deal because I'm still operating. Because this is your focus. It's no longer the monetary yep. stuff, the money,
yep. Yep.
material stuff. So, yeah.
Yep. And I just thought about something I should have said it earlier to you. Speaking about gifts and that sort of thing. And like, you're starting this podcast, you know, and I'm saying it now just because I thought about it. And if I don't say it, I'm going to forget. Like, when you sent me those questions over.
Yeah.
Right. And just, and even listening to your podcast again, I remember you saying you were going to start it. And as I started to listen to it, I was like, my man is really gifted at this. Like, straight up, like, you're really gifted at what you do.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if, yeah, I ain't blowing smoke, bro. I'm just letting you know that that's what it is. You know what I mean? So I was listening to it. I was like, man, this is not only are you bringing up some solid brethren, some solid people that are sharing some jewels, some wisdom. It's like, no, your ability to draw it out of him is amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you sent me the questions over and I started looking at them, I was like, it just hit me. I was like, oh, wow, this is what it is. Because yeah. Even choosing a topic, I was like, oh, yeah, I take that one. You know what I mean? I was like, all right, whatever. And then you sent me over the questions and I was like, I was like, my man, so shout out to you for that.
Oh, thanks,
for being obedient, you know? Yeah.
This question here, the books that you're authoring.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting topic.
Because I know you got a family too, man. You got the kids, you got the wife.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you balancing your time? And how
you want the real answer? Or you want the real answer, or you want some curated, you know what I'm saying? Bro, I don't balance my time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being honest. I don't balance it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something I need to develop and get better at.
Mm-hmm.
As it's necessary, I do to an extent. And I don't want to go too deep into like assessment, stuff like that. But honestly, how I've done it is just he's designed me to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like he's designed me to do it. So I wasn't even confident in writing a book. I didn't seek to write a book, you know? And the way it came about was through that fellowship group, the Swordsman, Christian Men's Fellowship. I was actually, I traveled for work. I was in Louisiana, right? In Colonna, Louisiana, which is right outside of New Orleans. And then you say you got peoples from down there, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So I was down there working at Waterford Nuclear Plant. And the brother called me and was like, man, for this retreat, we do a retreat every year, the fourth weekend of February. And he's like, I got led to ask you to do a lesson on a Sabbath. He was like, because, you know, we're going over the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And that sparked my curiosity, right? I was like, okay, cool, you know? And he's like, would you mind doing that? And I was like, no, I wouldn't mind at all, because that's something that I had studied some years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I don't mind at all. And I was like, but I'll go study it again just to make sure that the conclusion I came to is the real deal, is that it's led by the Spirit and it's not me, you know?
Yeah.
So I did it and sent it to him. And my man's was like, you know, when he responded, he was like, overall, I think it's good, you know, but I could hear the hesitation.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's good. He's like, but could you not include when? And I was like, responded to my man. I was like, bro, look, love you. He's like, but look, there's no way you told me you were led by the Spirit to ask me to do it. I was like, yeah. I didn't have any unction at all. I ain't had no inclination. You said you were led by the Spirit. So if that's true, then this is what I got. And ain't no way I can do that and not say when. You know what I mean? I was like, I got to be in truth.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I did it. And that's in the wind. Some years later, I get led to say, okay, all that stuff you've been learning, you need to share it. You need to write it.
Right.
And you also need to do the videos as well, which was something that came to fruition a little bit later. But I was like, well, why would I write? Like, I'm not an author. Like, why would I start writing them? That don't make sense. And I was like, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Like, logically, stuff ain't clicking for me. But what he tells you to do ain't necessarily logical, you know?
Right.
And what came to me was, you remember that lesson that you did some years back? It's like, yeah, that's the format. Okay, cool. I can do that.
Uh-huh.
That's easy.
Yeah,
I remember exactly what I did for that. You know, that's the format. I'm like, okay, cool. So that's what I started doing. And then each question that I had or challenge that I had in my faith or things that I was thinking about, I sought to answer those or solve those.
Yeah.
So I would write that down, do my little process in going through scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I start writing it down, man. So it was a labor of love. And it was also what I feel like I was called to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I couldn't sleep at night, you know, like I'd be tossing and turning. I'd get up, drink a cup of coffee and start studying, start writing. You know, I would have time at work, some downtime.
Mm-hmm.
I would start writing. I would start studying and writing, you know. That's what it was. So it wasn't about, I didn't have this system. The only system I had was the way I went about studying and writing,
right,
because I wanted to remove me. That's what I put my effort into. It wasn't about managing my time to do it. You know, you make it work. Anything that you want to do, you'll make it work. You'll make the time to do it. Because, I mean, we got 24 hours in the day. And if any of us are honest, we waste a good bit of them. You know what I mean? I don't know of any human being who can really say, nah, all my time is purposeful. All my time is, it's like, yeah, we may talk that. But at the end of the day, you got some time up in there, and we make time to do whatever we want to do. And I, you know, I'll say there's not that our days where it feel like I've been going all day, you know, and that might last for a spell. That might last for 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, something like that. But then it's like, nah, I've been goofing off. You know what I'm saying? 16 hours a day. I woke up and I ain't done much of nothing. Like, I might have tidied up the crib a little bit, play with my boy a little bit, holler at the wife for a minute, but I've been chilling. You know what I mean? Like, if we're honest, you know, so I don't have this system for balanced time. And getting into a little bit about like the assessment and seeing what my tendency was there, it was really interesting to me, because what I finally communicated to my wife is like, I was like, yo, I go through these periods of time where I'm super, super productive. I'm talking about like executing at an extremely high level. You know what I mean? And then I go through these periods of time where I'm just not, you know? And when I dialed into what that assessment said about me, it was like sprints. It was like sprints. And when I was like, oh man, that now it's starting to make sense, because I've always said that there's just no such thing as balance. Yeah. That's what I truly believe. I was like, yeah, it ain't no such thing as balance. Sometimes you're going to be heavily over here. Sometimes you're going to be heavily over there. Sometimes you might be over here, you know, but I was like, I didn't believe in balance. And that's my walk, though.
Right.
And I had to realize that, because some people are kind of designed, not kind of, but some people are designed to be more consistent over time. Mm-hmm. That's just what they do. That's how they're wired. So for them, they may have more of a life balance. But for me, it's more like I'm 150% over here and I'm -2 over here.
Yeah.
But tomorrow it might be the reverse, you know? And what I find interesting, man, is one of my homies, my man Sean, he was like, yo, you're the most consistent person I know. And I'm looking at the assessment and I know me, and I'm like, I'm not consistent. You know what I mean? Like, I know that about myself. Like, it's like, no, I'm not the person that can stick to any specific task for like years and years on end and do this every day. That's how I burn out, because it bores me. I feel like I get to a point where it's like, okay, I can do this. I know it. I can do this with my eyes closed. And once I'm competent in something, I'm bored with it. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's like, I would rather suck at something. Like, straight up, I would rather suck at it so I can work and develop myself. That's when I feel like something's happening. Right. That's when I feel like I'm solving something. But when I'm looking at the assessment and you say to avoid long periods of time where you're consistent like that for burnout. And I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. So now I'm realizing that being involved with multiple things at once is more fulfilling to me, because I'll push hard in one direction for a period of time, however the last. I might be writing for a month, 2 months, and then it's like I get to a place where I feel like, you know what, I'm good on that. Mm-hmm. You know, or I feel like, okay, this is done for now, and then I'll shift gears and I go right over into the next project, the next task, really, because I'm a heavily task oriented person, you know. So I'll hone in on that and I press hard in on that. I run as fast as I can, as hard as I can for that season. Mm-hmm. And then when I get to a point where I'm not growing, I'm not developing in it, then I push hard in this other one. And then it's like, when I got a few things going, I can switch gears and push hard into other things at any given moment, you know? So that's how it looks for me. That's how it looks for me. It's like, I got the ball and I'm running that way. And it's like a month later, 2 weeks later, whatever the case is, I might have the ball and I might be running hard that way. You know what I mean? It's like, but what I've learned to do now is make sure that wherever I'm running in, whatever project it is that it's ultimately feeding into what my end vision is, what my end goal is, you know, for my life, the lifestyle that I desire to have. And I'm making sure that mainly I'm in line with what God has and what he said, you know? So that's how balance or how it looked for me writing the book. It's like, it took years, man. It took me 4 years, about 4 years to write that book. And now that it's written, I hadn't published it yet. Like when I say published, it's published, but I hadn't like went to marketplace with it. Right. It's because after I got it, I started talking to a brother, Vic Johnson.
Yeah.
Vic connected me with a brother in Atlanta where I was going to start recording the audio book. I sat down with him. He was like, yeah, you need to read through the book and, highlight the areas of inflection. And he's coaching me on that. I'm like, all right, bet. So I started reading the book and I was like, yo, this is trash. Straight up. I started reading my own book, man. I was like, it's trash. I had it for a month and a half, 2 months. And I was like, yo, this ain't up to my own standard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was thankful that he told me to do that, because when I started reading through and I didn't like what I was reading, I was like, no, I got to edit this. Cause I paid a lot of money for editing, man. And when I started reading, I was like, how did I miss this? How did they miss this? They're a professional, you know? So I'm reading back through, editing my own book again.
Wow.
And then when I finish that, then I'll put those edits in. And then it'll be ready. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting thing, you know. Yeah. But that's how my non-balanced but balanced life looks.
And what's the title of the book?
Who Knew? Who Applying Knew? Biblical Principles in Real Life.
Wow.
Yeah. And that came from a conversation with my man Brooks. Yeah. We were talking about the book and writing it some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I was explaining to him where the topics came from, that kind of thing. I was like, yo, who knew? He was like, that's the name of the book, bro. And I was like, what?
He's like, what?
Yeah. He was like, who knew? That's the name of the book. And I was like, cool. I'm going to run with it.
Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, man, when you're talking about assessment, I was like, this brother has to be a D.
Yeah.
This brother has to be a D. Man, I'm the same way.
Yeah, high pilot. Yep, high pilot, high air traffic control.
Yep.
Those are my dominant and secondary styles.
Yep. Yep. We're talking about the DISC assessment, y'all. DISC assessment. Assessment of behaviors.
Yep. If you listen to this podcast, you won't know about it. Hit my man's up. Hit us up. Yep. Like got you, you know, but you need to know. You need to know. You need to know. You need to know how you're showing up.
Right.
You need to know how you can improve, what areas you can really hone in on, what your strengths are, so you can run in those, you know. And I had to embrace the fact that I'm good in sprints.
Yeah.
I had to embrace that, not work against it and say, no, I need to be meticulous about a schedule and all this. That burns me out. We all wired different. You know what I mean? So it's weird when you say, no, I can't. No, that's not me.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And coming to grips with that. No, that's not me. And I'm not going to force myself to do something that's going to burn me out. Like, that's silly. Let me hone in on what I'm good at. I got this ball. I'm going to run through some walls with it right quick. I'm going to set it down and I'm going to pick another one up and I'm going to haul butt with it. You know what I'm saying? Say, that's how it's got to be sometimes.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I know we briefly hit on it earlier, but on the personal development side, you mentioned Napoleon Hill. Were there some other books that you read?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. The Bible is the main thing, of course.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. But and what I started to realize was that those principles in a lot of those personal development books, just biblical principles.
Exactly.
Expounded. And I also want people to think about this. This is something that I came to. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt, if you will.
Yeah.
But life is simple. We are simple. There's not a lot of complex things about us as humans. I know we would like to think that, but I think the opposite. And in the personal development space, we tend to, just like scientists, make things that are extraordinarily simple. We make them so hard to comprehend. And we expound on it as if it's this grand principle or theory, and it's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a really extraordinarily simple. And those are the things, the small little adjustments that we need to make that make significant results in our life different. It brings us such different stuff. And it's like, that's why when you ask somebody, I truly believe if you ask somebody like, why are you so successful? They don't go into these amazing theories and principles. It's like, I got up every day and I read. And you looking like, it's got to be more than that. It's like, I just got up every day and I start reading. And then I start applying the little stuff that I was reading. I like, you watch anime?
What is it?
Anime. I'm probably, I watch anime, right? Not much now with kids and all that. But I like to watch anime. There's one called One Punch Man, right? And it's a really interesting anime because, like, just a brief little joint is he's like the strongest superhero. They got this league of superheroes where people got their superpowers. They apply to being this league of superheroes. They test them. Well, this dude, his name's Saitama. He's not in the League of Heroes, but he get recruited to be in the League of Heroes. And he's like the strongest one ever, right? But they don't recognize him that. They rank him as the lowest. You know what I mean? And he can literally defeat anything in one punch. Like without even trying, he playing with his cat, eating whatever the case is, something happened. He just one punch and it's over. That's why it's called One Punch Man, right? And he ended up, one dude ends up coming to be his mentee. And he got all this stuff. He's like a mech, pretty much like a cyborg kind of deal. He's like, how'd you get so strong? He was like 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups. And 1 mile run every, and 100 kilometers. It was it 1 kilometer and 1 kilometer run every day. You know what I mean? It's like every day, that's what I do. Something that simple, you know? And it's comedic in the anime, but it's a real principle. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just those simple things that you hone in on, that you commit to mastering.
Yeah.
Right? That you commit to mastering. Mastery is a topic that not a lot of people touch on, but if you commit to mastery, like, the principles that we learn in scripture in the Bible, if you commit to mastering just one or two things, it's like, okay, now I get it, right? That's why Jesus said, that's why he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You commit to that and you'll master everything that you have to master in your walk. And it's like, but now you got to ask yourself, what does it mean to love God?
Yeah.
What does that mean, right? Because we can't hug him. You know what I mean? We can't be affectionate with them, be all, you know what I mean? Because depending on what your love language may be, you can't put your hands on him. So it's like, how can I love God when the answer is in the Bible? That's the questions I was asking. You say, love God. And I was like, well, how do I do that? You know what I mean? Like, for real, like, how do I do that? And then they said, okay, to love God is to uphold his commandments. I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not what I thought it was. It's just to keep his commandments. So if to love him is to keep his commandments, what are those?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you got to learn the commandments. And it's like, oh, okay, got it. Okay, I can do that. No problem. And it's like, so what is it to love my neighbor? Oh, to love my neighbor is to love God. Okay, so it's to keep the commandments. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really simple thing, man. But we make things way more complicated than they have to be. And now I'm remembering the question, so I apologize. So some of the other stuff that I was reading, I've read a lot, too much to even really, I rattle a few off. The Slight Edge was a really good book. Compound Effect, really good book. Think and Grow Rich was one I read. That's more of a financial thing, but those principles can be applied in a lot of different areas of life. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant, Second Chance, a lot of Robert Kiyosaki's book. Right now I'm reading Rich Kid, Smart Kid to my son so he can learn it, you know? Five Levels of Leadership by Maxwell recently, Triggers, you know, the more in the coaching space. Yeah. Now I'm listening to eight Dimensions of Leadership. And shout out to, you know, Terrell Cag, shout out to Tyrus Shivers. You know, the brothers gave me book lists that I honed in on, and I'm still going through them because both of them gave me 4 or 5 books at least.
Yeah.
So I'm still going through them and getting them and listening to them or reading them, you know. 4 Greenhouses, 1 Red Hotel. That one, right? It's just getting rid of the habit of being you. I think it's like Joe Dispenza or something like that. It's a psychological book. Emotional Intelligence. These are, you know, just what I tend to do. Like when I see someone or speak to someone who I recognize that connection is there, I'm being like, I'll ask them, like, what have you been reading?
Yeah.
You know, what'd you? And I'll read those books. I'll look into those books. Or if it's a specific topic I'm looking for, I just search it and I'll find the book. I'll start reading through Amazon, look at the little caption, you know, they'll give you the sample. I'll read the sample and I'm like, okay, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So I'll buy the book and read it. You know, anything you've ever wanted to know, you can find it in the book.
Right.
You know, so if you know how to read and you got a little bit of comprehension when you read,
mm-hmm.
you can find it. So, you know, seeking you shall find. That's what he told us.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Seeking you shall find. Knocking the door should be open. Asking you shall receive. So it's like, yep, it ain't just you ask and he just, okay, now I got it. It's like, nah, you're going to have to put some work in.
Yeah.
You seek it. Yep, you will find it. It might be reading. Maybe you're a more relational person. So it may be developing a close relationship with somebody mm-hmm. who got it and they'll give it to you. They'll show you.
Right.
That's my weakness. So I've never had a mentor.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had somebody to just hold my hand, guide me, walk me. I've never had that relationship. But yeah. through that assessment, I'm recognizing, oh, that's my fault. It's because of how I was designed.
Yeah.
Right. And that pushed me to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have that relationship with anybody else. So it pushed me to develop it with the Most High God. So it's like, now it all comes full circle, man.
Right.
It all comes full circle, bro. And it all comes back to the Creator.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. You know, so yeah, those are some of the books. There's plenty more, but those are some of the ones that come to mind, you know?
That's good. Yeah. And I know you mentioned Tyrell Tyrus and Mr. Victor Vonico Johnson.
Yeah.
We all part of the accountability group. So how important is that to you? Just having accountability like that?
Oh man, very much so. Very much so. And I was out on the island, man. Like I told you, I got brothers that's close to me that I love dearly, but when it came to that drive, you know, that vision in life that is just, you know, I ain't gonna say they didn't have it. I'm just saying they didn't have it to the degree that I did or do. And I was seeking to have a relationship with some people who did, you know, just so I could add value and so that I could learn as well.
Right.
And again, through that assessment, man, it's funny stuff, but that's again, relationships, connecting, expressing yourself. Like my preference is low in that, you know, but my wife, that's her dominant. So when I was seeking that, and I had done it on my own before and it failed, I was like, no, I need her input on this. I was like, so look, this is what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for accountability. And I had tried it with her and it doesn't work.
Right.
You know, so I was like, I'm looking for this. And she was like, oh, okay, I'll connect you with E, mm-hmm. with Ernie. She's like, I know. And she, like, in the next day or two, she connected me with Ernie. Ernie, shout out to you, bro. Much love for it, man.
That's right.
And she connected me to why am I drawing a blank right now? I apologize. Eli. She connected me to Ernie and Eli. Mm-hmm. And I started messaging both of them brothers. And when I reached out to Eli, I realized like I was talking about fitness and that wasn't what I was focusing on.
Yeah.
Like I'm fairly fit. So I was pushing into some other directions, you know. So I started talking to him about fitness goals. And then when I was thinking about it, I was like, that ain't what I'm looking for. You know? But in the conversation that I was having with Ernie, he was just like, yo, just here's the group. I think you should come check us out. And I checked the group out and I was like, oh yeah, that's it. That's it right there. I need to be right here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I need to be right here. So it's been a blessing for me being able to connect with those brothers, yourself, you know what I mean? Brother Cliff, you know, just being able to Ron, like all the brothers, man. Like I love how each one of us have our unique stories, our unique experience that we can all learn from and also sharing our tone, you know, like, and by sharing our own story, we help one another, iron sharpening iron,
right?
You know, so it's truly in my developmental space in life, probably the most valuable group that I've been a part of. You know what I mean? So I love it, man. And it's also, again, my weakness. Relationships, you know, and I was like, I needed it. My wife put me on to Brother Eli, Brother Ernie. They introduced me to the group, and through it, I'm making connections. I'm able to share wins where in other spaces, it's like you bragging, but it's like, no, I'm not trying to brag. I just want to be able to celebrate.
Right.
You know what I mean? And being in a space where you can truly celebrate with other brothers, man, it's like, it's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That accountability pushes you, and then the wins, man, that just, man, all you're doing is creating momentum for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creating that momentum, yeah. Man. You already got the vision. You're like, okay, now, man, I could do this. I could do this.
For sure. For sure. It's a beautiful thing, bro. As you already know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, man, before we finish up and everything, man, how would you, at this phase in your life, man, how do you define success? Or how would you define it?
It's not complicated, and it's the same as Brother Cliff shared up here. You know?
Yeah.
If you accomplish what you sought out to do, you're successful. If you make up your mind to do something and you pursue it,
yeah,
you're successful. It really is that simple. That's what success is. So I also think it's important to understand that whatever you pursue, you can and will be successful at it.
Right.
All of us can and will be, as long as we allow it to change us. Because what we end up doing is we pursue something, but we don't want to change.
Yeah.
We want salvation, but we don't want to change our ways. We don't want to confess our sins and turn, and we don't want to repent. And that's why people get stagnant in their spiritual walk, because you don't want to conform to God's ways. Mm-hmm. Right. So you want to be rich, but you don't want to conform to the ways of what it takes to earn and keep money.
Right.
You want a relationship, but you won't change your preferences and your tendencies. Right. Whatever you're seeking, whatever you want or desire, it's going to develop you. You're going to have to change in order to obtain it. You know what I mean? So you got to be ready for those things and recognize that this is the area. And that's one of the things that I'll say is one of the tricky parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's recognizing what you need to change and what needs to stay the same.
Yeah.
You know, because in some of those pursuits, you'll change some things and recognize, oh, no, I should have left that alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I should have left that one alone. But yeah, to be successful, man, is whatever you make up in your mind that you want or desire to pursue it and achieve it, success.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I appreciate you, brother. Before we wrap up, before we drop it, any words of encouragement for those listening?
I could say a lot, I guess. I appreciate that question. That question is a challenge to me.
Yeah.
It's a challenge to me because I'm not a person that requires an encouragement. You know what I mean? Yeah. For real, like real talk. So it's for when I say, just go after it, man. Whatever you desire, whatever you want in life,
mm-hmm.
like a dog with a bone, man, go after that thing and don't relent. Don't let go.
Yeah.
You know, don't let go. If you're being led for something, if that spirit is on you, if your heart is in the place, go after that thing with all you got. Give it all you got, man. Because they say that the grave is the place where the most value is on this earth, right? In the grave, like, again, the desires that you have, it's a good chance that the Most High put it there for a reason. So in your pursuit, you're probably going to develop and grow and change in some areas that you may not even want to. So I encourage you to stay the course. I encourage you to be, you know, to persist, to relent, to be relentless in your pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless, come hell or high water is what old school used to say. Come hell or high water. It. You know what I mean? This thing is going to be done. Right. And a lot of times it's not through our strength, but it's through his.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Y'all heard it from Zoe. Y'all be sure to tap into Soul Ministry on YouTube.
For sure. Appreciate the shout out, man.
Cool, bro.
Yeah. I
appreciate it.
For sure. I enjoyed the time, man. And again, it's been an honor being on here.
Yeah. I appreciate you, Dom. I appreciate you.
Mr. Zoe Vince, man, thank you for blessing everyone and myself with your story. I appreciate your spirit and willingness to serve and to be the light. And next week, I will be joined by Ryan Gay. This man has a testimony. I just gave him the mic and let him go. Be sure to stay tuned. You all have a blessed week and continue investing in yourself so you can become the best version of yourself. And remember, we can't become what we need if we remain where we are.